Welcome to, well, that fucked me up.
It really did.
A podcast with Luke Coulson.
And Kyle Wise.
And each week we're going to be talking to real guests about their amazing, often traumatic, life-changing events.
Focusing on stories of survival, hope, and overall triumph.
Which is flipping awesome.
Yeah.
Because we're all about that. We're all about listening to people's stories about adversity and trauma and crazy stuff. I think there really is something for everybody. There's many, many topics, many, many guests, people that really have got through some extraordinary things. Please share the love, share the show, get in touch, follow us, subscribe, click. We're trying to make it easy and open for people to discuss things that may normally feel tricky to do so. We've been on an extraordinary journey and we're glad you can join us. Enjoy the show. Welcome to another episode of Well, That Fucked Me Up. I'm your host, Luke Coulson, and today I'm joined by Morgan Rockwell. Hi, Morgan.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm really great. I'm happy to be here.
Where are you calling us from?
I'm in Porto, Portugal.
Holy shit, get the fuck out of here. That's awesome.
I know. It's like most people's dreamland. Every time I hit a client and they're like, wait, where are you?
Where?
It's my dream place.
Where? I know Porto from the football, the soccer.
Football club. FC Porto.
Huge, yeah. There, right? Where are you from originally then?
I'm from Washington State, right. In the US.
How amazing. A European, hooray. I'm in LA, but I'm English, obviously. So
we flip coasts.
Yeah, exactly. How funny. We probably pass each other in midair. Well, thanks for coming on the show. We like to talk to guests each week about surviving life-changing events and experiences. That's really the basics of it all. It can be multiple things. It can be a one-off thing. It can be emotional. It can be physical. It can be mental. It can be childhood stuff. Most of the stuff ends up traumatizing people at some stage or another. So we always end up talking about some sort of trauma as a result of things that have happened. With all of that, Morgan, where would you like to begin?
I'm going to begin with, because I have had all of that trauma and thing, but the thing that really, really sent me on the path that I'm at now was a divorce that left me a single mom in a foreign country with two kids where I could not hold a work visa in my area of expertise. So I thought, what the fuck am I going to do with the rest of my life?
So the divorce resulted in you not being able to work.
Well, no, the country itself I was forced to live in.
Well,
I gave birth to my children abroad without really thinking about it, right? So I was pregnant in another country with a foreigner and just old programming kicked in at that moment in time. And I should have been conscientious. I'm going to put should in quotes, but you know, one would have been conscientious enough to research that, but kind of that old programming, I'm pregnant with this person, it's going to work out, no problem. And just also trying to figure out what was happening. I gave birth to the kids in Portugal here. So they are Portuguese by nature and have dual nationality. But when it comes time to separate, I can't take them out of the country. Like, Portuguese law was not on my side.
And well, let's talk about that. So how long were you with your partner for? And I'm assuming you were married and you thought this was, you were in for the long haul and you had children and everything was wonderful and life was gorgeous and you liked Portugal. But did I hear at the beginning you felt like you were forced to live there or move there?
Liked Portugal and I had some information. I could get a work visa. My area is in integrated medicine, traditional Chinese medicine, acupuncture.
Oh, wow. Cool.
All that alternative stuff that just isn't really here in Europe much.
Yes.
It is, but it's not like it is in the US, right? So I had met this person and I had this information. I could live abroad, get a license here. And I thought, oh, cool. Let's spend a year here. And then I met him and it was one of those things where it just happened so quickly that it's like, I couldn't even keep up with all of that, you know? And so there was this, I think the easiest way I want to say it was like just that spiritual or positive bypassing came in like, oh, the universe gave this to me.
Yeah.
It's meant to be type of thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, when really he was so keen on having a family and this and that. And so it was a bridge or a cliff that I jumped off. I chose to jump off this cliff, right?
Yeah.
hoping that it would work out, yet there were like pings in my gut that said, maybe this is not the thing you should be doing. But I didn't listen.
Sorry to cut you off halfway through, but just like talking about like that instinctive feeling in your gut. Like I've been there. And it's like, I could have ended this or stopped this or not been in this position on multiple occasions for that. Trust your gut is like such an important thing, isn't it? Like but then we're sort of also programmed through our lives to have this self-doubt and not necessarily be able to trust in our own decision-making. So like, at what point is the feeling in your gut to trust? Like sometimes I'm like, I don't trust that feeling in my gut. I don't trust my decision-making. I'm just going to go with the flow, and going with the flow often ends up not quite working out.
It's absolutely true. And this is like the major, major point that actually, put me on the path that I'm in now. But so many of us, we are not taught that inner voice is valid. We aren't taught to be like, you know what? This isn't aligned with me because all those people pleasing skills come in. You want to disappoint anybody. You have to have like a legitimate excuse to get out of something, right? You have to almost sell your point of view.
Totally. And
in the reality, that's not true, because if it feels not right for us, it probably isn't. We need to stop and pause and explore that. But I didn't. And so I had the choice was, okay, I can live off savings as a foreigner for how long and give birth to a kid in a foreign country and I need medical. And so, hey, let's get married because you know what? It's going to work out in the long run.
Yeah.
So it just became this runaway train, and there were actually good parts of it. And there were like, you know, love is a choice. I really think like we have all sorts of people that we can be potential partners with or really aligned with. But you kind of have to choose to show up over and over. So like the whole thing wasn't a train wreck all the way down. Right. But two kids in such a quick time, things just got really challenging, and it just became very clear that I was definitely in the relationship with the potential of a person, not the actual person. And that for me was like, oh shit, I did that to myself.
When did you realize? Did you realize after the kids or during the kids, or like what was that?
It was definitely after the first, and when I got pregnant, which I feel like this was sort of the universe paying me back, because there was no biological reasons I should be on getting pregnant. I was in birth control, yet I got pregnant. And I was just like, oh shit, this is the worst thing that happened to me. And I thought, what a terrible response to this sweet, innocent life coming in through me.
Yes.
Like that was, it felt so wrong to have that as the initial reaction. I thought, okay, you know what? I got to check out what's happening here, because I felt so far off my path, and it just living my purpose and exploring who I am is such a high value for me, where it just wasn't for the other person in the relationship. And that came out very clearly. His words were that, but his action wasn't lined behind that. And that to me was out of integrity. And that is a very important pillar from where I live my life, being in integrity, right? Doing what I say and exploring who I am and showing up as me. And when all of these cultural things came in, sort of this patriarchic society where I was just all of a sudden the woman of the house and expected to do all of these things and take care of the kids and have food on the table. And if people came over, serve them. And it got too much for me, and I couldn't the balance.
So he, and talk about him as much as you like or as little as you like, but he wanted that kind of perfect family, and he was the man of the house, and it was seemed to be like an old school traditional setup, and you suddenly felt yourself.
Yeah, and he grew up with his grandparents. So I feel like some of that programming kicked in, because it was like the minute I was pregnant, it was not a conscious thing, I don't think, that he saw me and treated me differently. And I noticed that from other people around, like the moment you're in this different role, people really treat you different. And that was so unlike anything I experienced growing up in the US, right? Or being free-minded myself. But
did you start to feel like, how were your friends there? Did you start to feel lonely? Did you start to feel homesick?
He lived in a very, very small village. And the plan was always to be in a city and all of these different things. And well, the family house that ended up getting purchased and where we lived, and it just sort of became this runaway thing. Like I said, I hadn't been gaining work. I had been trying to keep my head above water. I was like teaching English online to kids in China and doing different things, like whatever skill set I could pull from. And so I was just isolated. I felt like I was on an island. I had no friends, or the friends that I had were partners or wives of his friends. Like nobody that really was in my world. Here I'm trying to learn Portuguese. I've got these two young kids. It just like, it was hell. I felt like I was invisible, really.
It's a big hit on your mental health, I'd imagine that. It's like, I'm kind of feeling how you're feeling when you're in that moment. It's lonely, right? And it's like, how did you, when did you start to think, well, I realized you'd already started to think this isn't what I signed up for, but when did you start to think that you needed to take some action over it? And then it sounds like that wasn't easy because of all of the rules and regulations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so it was a hard feeling to pay mind to, because when you have that sort of like feeling of you got to get out of here bubbling up, your head goes, well, how the fuck am I going to do that? Mm. Like, you know, and then it just, so it became this tug of war. And I, for me, the lesson was, you know what? I'm worthy of the rest of my life being, you know, I'm in worth of having joy and having a life that I love. Like, I'm not going to sacrifice everything just because I ended up having children. Yeah. Like that was you know, a huge wake up. So I started to look at all of those traumas, like you mentioned about in the beginning, like where were those wounds playing a part in driving me creating this reality?
Yeah.
Because I wanted to know, I'm not responsible for him. I can't change him. Yeah. I couldn't change a lot of dynamics. All I could change was what was going inside of me.
Yeah, of course.
And so I really took a deep dive, you know, between laying on my office floor and crying, like where can I shift? What can I do? What is in my power? Mm. And back to that gut thing, like I've always had a really strong intuition. I've always just had a knowing. I can't explain it. Mm. And so I just leaned into that knowing and started from there. Like, what is it trying to tell me? How can I learn more about it? How can I expand this trust inside of me to, and how can I grow my self-worth enough to take aligned action?
Yeah. It, how would the whole having kids, like you don't want to become resentful of the kids, right? Because the kids are kind of the reason why you're stuck, but then they're your children. So it's not like you're
absolutely
annoyed. You've got to try and separate all of that, right? Because your kids are your kids. Like you, if anything, from your what seems to perceived failure of your relationship, you've produced children that are yours.
Right.
So how do you battle with like those feelings as well? It's like,
and that was the longest struggle. I think I stayed in it. You know, it was like, that's the war, right? Do I stay in it for the kids? Mm. But then it became to me, you know what? I think the damage of divorcing them and them dealing with separation is less than seeing a toxic marriage.
Correct.
And that became my pull. Mm. And so I was gauging off of them.
Yeah.
You know, you can pretend all you want in front of a kid, but if you've got this loneliness and this misery and this storm going inside of you and you're not connected to the other person, they fucking know it and they call you on it and their behavior changes and they're not happy and in a good place. And so I was noticing things through my kids that motivated me to figure out a plan so that they would have a chance at well-being as well.
Yeah. We, I got divorced 6 years ago and it was rough towards the end. And we sought help through two or three different marriage counselors and all of them, all of them said, you guys need to separate. Like the marriage counselors said, you guys need to separate and never stay in a broken relationship for the kids. Like, hands down, that is rule number one. And that's the most extraordinary thing I learned, which is like, I would imagine there are millions of couples who are miserable and think that they are doing the right thing by staying together for their children. Children grow up in a household full of anger, misery, toxicity, resentment. Well, that's going to have a really fucking terrible effect on the children, right? As soon as we separated, broke the news to them, figured out our paths. Me and my ex started to rebuild our friendship and trust. And our children are happy, skippy kids growing up in, you know, with co-parents who do a really fucking great job of co-parenting, you know?
Yeah. And that's the golden nugget, right?
Yeah.
Like you have to do the work. You have to heal and co-parent with from, you know, heal from and co-parent with the same person, which is a lot of the dirty work, but you see the reward in the kids how they are be able to be like more in bloom, right? They're able to be them and not walking around with the effect.
I have, I'm always conscious. My mom listens to all these episodes. I always say that in every episode, but there was a lot of arguments, rowing, door slamming in my childhood from my parents. And it's traumatizing. It's absolutely, utterly traumatizing. You know, there's nothing you can do about it. Like, it is fucking terrifying for a child to be seeing that stuff. Terrifying, you know?
Yeah, because you're their sense of safety. And like, I grew up in a household where my parents stayed together for the kids. And my mom thought she had it all, like Gunsmoke and mirrors.
Yeah.
Where everything just looked perfect and picture perfect. But like, we were all so traumatized internally.
You can see it. Yeah.
The lack of trust. And then it just imprinted on us that, like, you know what? You have to set, like, love equals settling, or love equals, you know, and that's like a very watered down version.
Yeah.
But your childlike mind, that subconscious, gets imprinted with it. And that's what you keep creating and recreating 100%. And recreating.
Yeah.
So
tell me, what's next then? You start to formulate a plan. And what does that plan look like?
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, well, I can't leave this country. Like, what am I going to do? And so I had, you know, we live in this beautiful day and age of online business, right? Mm. And so after exploring through my intuitive gifts, it really led me down the path of learning to access the Akashic records, because I have used intuitives and things in the past, and I have a science mind, mind you. And so like, not all of it really resonated with me, but I wanted to be guided by something, but do it myself, because I wanted to like not be up for somebody else's opinion or idea of what I should do, because I really needed to figure this out the right way for myself. So that's when I started looking into like, how do we really start working with the subconscious and you know, repair, and oh, by the way, what can I do for a living? So it took me into coaching, because coaching is something I could do relatively easy for educational purposes. Yes. I could speak English with clients all over the world.
Yes.
And I would have some sort of license or guides to work under. So I started really like going down the road of building a coaching practice that I could, you know, something I could do the hours within the time my kids go to school.
Totally.
I was trying to think like more bang for my buck type of thing. So I really just started building a business. And I had to tell the divorce lawyer where I was going to live. So I picked the city. I had no fucking clue how I was going to live in Porto.
Yeah.
The housing situation is absolutely insane from all the foreigners coming.
Wow.
Like, I just like, I had no idea how it was going to come together, but I really just had to have like a whole lot of faith. And the only thing I had was two spots in an amazing school.
Wow.
And the same school for my kids.
Wow.
And it's like unheard of to get kids into this school. And I had both of them there.
Wow.
So
were you
like, you know what?
Were you moving with the kids, or was he sharing custody of the kids?
No, so I was granted custody of the kids primarily, and they go to him. Here they say every 15 days. So they go to him two weekends a month. And I was like, motherfucker.
Was he okay with that?
I can't go home to my home country.
Was he okay?
And I think that was his settle, but he's also, but I also think he doesn't have the capacity to do more. Now, as they grow up, they're still 6 and 4.
Yeah.
So they're quite little and their needs are quite high.
Yeah.
His notion is to get a house in the city where I live, and then they can do the week and week. But I think for now, it's best for all parties included to have stability with me, because I've always been the present parent. Like, he would work really late. He wouldn't sit on the floor, do the thing, whatever.
Yes.
That was part of
and
that.
And is he, that's interesting, because would you have full custody of them if you could? And is there not an importance of them being able to see their dad? But I see what you're saying with him seeing them once or twice a month. You're literally trapped in Portugal.
Yeah. And so I really had to work on on that aspect itself and be like, you know what? I can find the most freedom in the situation within myself, because I'm not going to live under that notion that I'm a prisoner or I'm in prison or I'm trapped. Like, you know what I mean? Because that was not going to make it work.
Yeah.
But I'm really grateful to raise them here. The culture is really beautiful.
Yeah.
It's a gorgeous city.
Yeah.
They do have a great relationship with their grandmother, his mom.
That's
good. You know, they do have their relationship, whatever it is, with their dad.
Yeah.
And they have the chance to work it out without me being in that container, right?
So,
yeah. And they're boys. They need that. So
Slight sidebar, just out of interest, what sort of life do you live in Porto? Is there expats there? Do you find yourself mingling? Yeah. Are your kids Portuguese? Are they learning? Are they at Portuguese school? Are they English school? Is there European school? What's the gist?
They are like tried and true Portuguese. That's their first language. I speak English with them at home. Yeah. Sometimes they like get really tired of it and I have to speak Portuguese with them. But you know, it really upped my capacity to understand how much I really can flourish. Like I've learned Portuguese. I do live in the city. I have connected with other expats. A lot of my friends now that I've met here in the city, they speak English. They're not necessarily American, but it's like Northern European countries and things. Portuguese is a really, really hard language and I suck at languages.
Yeah.
Like, that's, you know, amazing. My 6-year-old tells me all the time, Mom, your Portuguese is terrible.
It's so funny.
Yeah, which I love it, the mouth of babes, but he helps me with it. Yeah. And
I like that. Your 6-year-old's teaching you how to speak Portuguese. That's literally amazing.
Yeah. And so I feel like sometimes, though, I've had this, like, people see me at first level and they're like, oh God, you're just another American living here. And I'm like, no, dig below the surface. I'm really not. Like, I do pay taxes here. I have business. Yeah. My kids are Portuguese.
Yeah.
I'm not a tourist. Don't treat me like one. And I've had a lot of, not a lot, but I've had some more than not instances where people have kind of not treated me very kindly based on their projection. But then they find out I speak Portuguese. I live here.
It's interesting, isn't it?
They warm to me a little bit, which I'm just like, we could do without the surface judgment.
Yeah, I'll say. I think that's true of Europe in general. I think.
Yeah.
I feel like the Brits, like England, is quite welcoming. I think we're just like such a tourist-based city in London specifically. Yeah. You just expect it. But I think when you're in, like, there's some, certainly some Spanish cities where they're a bit like, what the fuck are you doing here? You know, you're just like, you're feeling the resentment.
Spain is way more.
The taxi drivers, like, are speaking to you in Spanish. So you know that they can understand English, but they refuse to. And you're like, but aren't we giving you the business in order to make a living? Yeah. It's so funny, isn't
it? It really is.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Now, I think at some point you glossed over something that you were saying, intuitives and Akashic records and stuff. Mm-hmm. What's that? What are you talking about?
So intuitive. I've always had, I guess, like energetic gifts. I've always had, like, I could just know the phone was going to ring and it's going to be who it's going to be. And then it would happen. And these type of things. And so I really put it into play to explore that. Like, how could I use that to my advantage? And because it's such a huge part of who I am, like, I can see people's energy. I can, but I don't really talk about it. And so I loved, I kind of came across this podcast that really blew my mind, and they take the woo out of spirituality, and I love it because it kind of melds it with science, and I'm really behind that. And so I do work a lot with the energetics with my coaching clients and things because it brings in a really, really fun level. But you know, everyone has an intuition. Every single person has an inner voice. And I love working with people because, like, you were even able to relate to the fact you had a gut feeling, didn't do something about it, and it didn't end up so well. So, like, that's the point of how I like to work with people and their intuition. Like, you don't have to be an energy reader, a clairvoyant, or anything like that in order to use your intuition to better your life and or manifest things that you want.
So it's sort of helping people to trust. It's almost like helping people to trust their gut instinct.
Yeah, and I do it particularly in the mostly in the realms of relationships, because that's where so many people lose their ability to trust themselves. Like, they can go out and work and really trust their gut about what they're going to tell their boss or how they're going to do this, like in a very contained area, right? People can learn to trust their intuition. Hey, I had an idea to do this and it worked out really well. But in the terms of relationship, it gets kind of fuzzy for a lot of people because of all of that trauma. So I work a lot with the subconscious mind and really helping people pull out those patterns so they can stop recreating the same thing in their reality.
Yeah. Do you think you mentioned, like, I don't know, like clairvoyance and psychics and things. Do you think your intuitive gift could go further than what you use it for? Is there any thinking in your mind that you can?
Oh, I use it very, very far. Like, I do psychic readings for people.
Right.
I read their energy. I read their records. I have mediumship. Like, you can. It's like any tool. It's like going to the gym. If you want to create the biceps of your dream, you keep working on your biceps.
Yeah.
So, like, if you want to grow these, you need education. You need training. You need mentors.
Yeah.
There's different practices
What's
to do
the
that.
Records?
The Akashic records are, they're kind of the book on all of us. There's a collective and we each have our own. So every like word, thought, deed, and action since the inception of your soul is recorded there. And so you can look at past, present, and future information. So they're kind of stored in these energy waves. So wow. If you're like, hey, I have this weird pattern with money, like I get it in and I can't hold on to it. Mm-hmm. And then it comes again and I can't, like, what's that? So you can go into the records and look where that possibly came from. Mm-hmm. These type of things. So it's kind of a fancy way into the subconscious mind so you can connect with your like higher self.
Did you bring up money on purpose? You're reading me. That's exactly what I would be talking to you about.
About your pattern. I don't know. It just came in. I was just channeling it through as an example.
You summed it up. You summed it up perfectly. Okay. Very good.
All right. So I'm okay at what I do.
Yeah, that was amazing. So a couple more questions before we wrap up. What's the plan for you? Like, what? Firstly, you know, you speak with a slightly European accent, which I love. It's kind of interesting. I hear it from time to time. There's some Portuguese in there somewhere.
There is.
Yeah. What is next? Like, what's your ideal plan? Like, what do you think the future holds? Is there like you coming back to the States? Are you resided or happy in Porto? And again, of course, a lot has to do with the children and custody. Mm-hmm. But like, what is that like? If you're talking about channeling and intuition, and like, what's what do you channel? What do you hope for?
Yeah. So like, after my first year of being in Porto, and like really struggling, I was like, fuck this story. I am rewriting it. I am no longer the burnt out, you know, struggling single mom. It doesn't have to be this way. And so I got super serious into manifesting and how I want my life to look. And I am like, I've made peace with Portugal. I'm like, I want roots here. So I'm trying to bring through my dream home. Yeah. I want a place that my kids always know is their home. I want to blow up my online business. You know, I've got different things that projects that I want to work in. I've started a meditation group here locally with expats, a lot of retirees, which are super fun. They have a lot of time and money, so they can do this stuff all day long. But building community here. So I have like my world within this realm, so the kids can grow up within Europe. And should they want to go to school or something in the US for college years, take a time over there, great. We can look at that in the future. But for now, I'm like really planting these roots here.
I mean, it's a good city, right? And it's like it could be gorgeous. A hell of a lot worse. You could be, being whisked away with a stranger and had children in fuck knows where. And there'd be nowhere to move to. And you'd be forced to live with him together because there was no, you know, so it is
no other option.
It's often looking at finding the perspective and flipping it in your favor, right? And that's a really important thing to be able to do.
You know, and I think I've really hit the balance. Like, it's supposed to be rainy here. It's winter. It's rainy season. It doesn't rain like London. We had this gorgeous break this morning where there was like 3 hours of no rain. So I could meet a friend, went for a lovely walk by the beach with the sun and the wind out, you know, just doing that in a sweatshirt. I can be home. I can be seeing clients. I can be on this podcast and do it all before my kids come home from school. Like, it's just, it's really...
Right.
Yeah, it's the dream, right? And and it's a gorgeous city. It's small enough where you can get around anywhere and everywhere and really enjoy it. And there's some growing pains like any place, but it's a fucking destination. I can hop on a plane to be anywhere in Europe in like 2 hours, right? Yeah. It's amazing.
Slightly personal question. How has the experience in divorce affected your relationships? Like, what's next? Do you go out and is there looking for love now? Or are you like, you're off dudes? You're like, fuck this. I'm not getting involved again.
No, actually, I think I am one to like reset and get in there and do the dirty work. And so like, I think I've really cleaned up any sort of patterning and everything around relationships and love. And I'm really, that's one of the things on my list is to really manifest like the relationship and really pull that through. So I'm ready to get out there. And, you know, obviously I'm going to do it with the free time that I do have. I'm not one to like just move in some bloke to my place with my kids. And like, you know what?
I only ask that because it's like, you know, trust when you get yourself into a thing that you think is right and it isn't, then it takes a little bit of self-coaching to be able to trust again, right? To like, well, hold on, am I really going to get into the thing? And when, if you're in a lot, suddenly the relationship becomes long-term, you're like, well, hold on, what if it happens again? You know, it's a scary world out there.
It is. And so like being really mindful about what tests look like and what red flags are, I've gotten really clear on like what my core values are, but like knowing red flags and green flags and knowing, hey, you are almost it, but not quite. I'm not going to settle for that because all of it's out there. If not, great. I'm fine where I'm at.
Yeah. Like,
you know what? You know, so really just playing around with, you know, expanding my notion of what is really possible.
Morgan, this has been an amazing episode. Just before we wrap up, I'm not going to put you on the spot, but I sort of am. What would you say to people that are listening to this episode and they're, you know, maybe struggling or feeling like they have a gut feeling, but they're not sure whether to trust it? And, you know, what do we say to those people?
Yeah, I love saying that like anything is possible and not like pie in the sky dreaming, but you really can rewrite that story. You can really shift how you create these experiences in your reality. It does take some dirty work and digging around, but stories can change. You don't have to be living that same situation that no longer serves you or that you're just fed up with. It's possible.
Amazing. Thank you for an incredible episode. Hope you've enjoyed the chat.
Thank you so much for having me. Yeah, I loved it.
And stay in touch. And thank you again. And we'll make sure on the show notes we have any links or social or any business links where people can find you if they so desire.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you so much.
Anytime.